Gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Now, the JoJo of the week.
All the haters and losers, of which there are many, were saying Jordan's going to be bad again this year. I just want everybody to know that the Ape Train has officially left the station this year. We're doing things this year.
Way to go, loser.
What does that even mean?
I think you did.
I don't have a lot to say about that.
Got him. With the hustling, anything is better than that.
Suck me arse, dilly dilly mofos.
Oh, to be the cellar arse is something I do dread. Oh, to be the cellar arse, when winter rears its ugly head. Now your destiny, you can only barely choose. Your money, you will surely lose. Oh, the cellar arse, am I?
You got Plaxicode.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man.
Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The pod is back and is better than ever.
She's got a real nice tight spiral.
Buckle up, because it's going to get pretty juicy.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The number you dialed has been changed, disconnected, or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again. Announcement 2, switch 40.
We're back! The surprise has been teased long enough. We have been edging our way to finishing up the secret pod, and now it has come. Welcome back to the Semi-Products Podcast. I am, as always, your league commissioner and host of the pod, Rick, here along with co-commissioner, our Southern Belle, Pip. Pip, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the pod, and you're the first guest of 2019. How you doing?
Wow. Happy 2019 to everybody. It's great to be back on the podcast and to be the first guest in 2019. I'd like to thank you all for voting in the awards. And sorry for the delay getting this secret pod out. I know none of you were expecting it, but we were both busy during the holidays, and then it takes a long time to cut through 18 episodes, finding all the funny moments, especially when Jordan's on the pod like four times and he talks for 2 hours each. And a lot of it's funny, but a lot of it's also a bunch of BS too, so... It's kind of a painful process, but we're almost done. And when you hear this, we will be done, obviously. But yeah, it's good to be back on the podcast. How's your 2019 going so far, Rick?
2019 has been good. I'm very grateful that you've actually waded through most of that crap a second time, with Jordan talking for, pretty much like 47 hours, over his two appearances on the podcast, I think. So thank you for going through that. I'm almost done at the time of recording with the mashup. I've started to get music together. I've got drops and clips and things to put in. So at this recording, it's not done, but when you hear it, it will be done. Future you will be happy that past me is done doing future me's work.
Well, future me is very happy with what you've done, and present me is very excited to hear what you've put together.
Absolutely. And we're starting this looking back at 2018. You were in the finals on the final episode of the year, and you did lose. How did you take that loss? How has the Hot Chicken of Nashville been to you as an emotional support crutch?
Well, obviously, it was heartbreaking losing by 0.9 points. I don't think anybody can know the pain of losing a fantasy final that close. I was able to grieve talking to Mike, actually. He was able to support me a little bit, and it was good talking with him during the matchup and after the matchup. For me, the Monday night game wasn't as when Jared took the lead, it wasn't as heartbreaking as you might think, just because, I was kind of expecting it at that point. I think the point where it started to sink in, where it wasn't my year, was in those afternoon games when CJ Anderson was getting fed like crazy, Big Ben was going off against New Orleans, and You know, I still had three Chiefs to go in the Sunday night game, but and Mike just had Jared Cook, and I was down by my deficit was growing, like went from 10 to 20 to 30, and you know, I figured my Chiefs would be able to get me a lead, but I really needed an extra touchdown. I really didn't need the fumble from Damian Williams, and you know, it's tough, but overall my team didn't put together a good enough performance during that game. I mean, it was a decent performance, but it wasn't a good enough one to feel comfortable or feel like I really deserved to win. So, yeah, it was difficult. It was tough to take. I should have started Calvin Ridley. I know that. I probably shouldn't have started Josh Allen. I could have picked up Big Dick Nick.
You've got Plaxicode.
Yep, I did get Plaxicode. It was tough being so close to winning, but at least I got closer to winning than Jordan did last year. So that's the one thing I can take, one positive I can take away from this.
It's a very good point. It was one hell of a battle. It's been a while looking at the matchup. Man, that is so close, really, from top to bottom. Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for you that you lost. I mean, it to lose that way just feels incredibly brutal. But at the other end of the bracket, really, at everything, the Toto Toilet Bowl between Scott and Duncan the second straight year, was there any, you know, happiness taken from the fact that we're going to see Scott Fitzgerald do stand-up come August?
Well, I think everybody's pleased about that. Definitely me. I mean, it makes me feel a lot better. I can't wait for the stand-up. I don't think we're going to have a greater moment in this league's history than when Scott has to get up on that stage, wherever we are. You know, we're all expecting it to be hilarious, but I don't know if that maybe adds more pressure onto Scott, knowing that we all have very high expectations for him.
Man, I'm kind of at the other end. My expectations are very, very low. Like, if Scott has written out one joke, even if it's a knock-knock joke, if it's just a one-liner and that's the only joke that he's written or prepared, like, good luck. Because I think we're going to be showing up to the comedy club or, you know, the bar or wherever, and Scott is going to be in the car over writing down things that he thinks is funny that he can tell as jokes. And I think it's just going to be so cringy, and I'm going to have to laugh my way through it because I think that's the only way I'm going to be able to handle that stress.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. He'll be, like, writing down, like, cat joke here, you know. So
have you guys ever had Cheerios for every meal of your life for a year?
Yeah. Cheerio joke here. Southwest joke here. Yeah.
That's, so planes, huh?
I mean, you're right. It could go really terribly. There could be like a degenerate drunk just in the back of the
Scott's
bar.
Not going to handle hecklers well. That's not going to go well. If he gets the hecklers like Duncan got, he's not going to handle that okay at all.
No. And like, yeah, Scott's is going to get just manhandled by any hecklers. He won't be able to deal with it. And if someone were to throw, like, a beer bottle at him because he's that bad, he wouldn't be able to see it because his eyes are closed all the time. I mean, it could be really disastrous for him.
I don't have a lot to say about that move.
Well, this is the awards pod. We do have to continue looking back at the best and worst of the 2018 season. We have 13 awards to hand out this year. League members were mailed golden envelopes to select their votes from a list of nominees that Pip and I came up with. So last year we had two or three people voting on the awards. This year the whole league was able to give their input, making this a lot less of a dictatorship and a lot more of a democracy. But even still, before the awards, I've been talking a lot throughout the year. Jared has been tracking picks the whole year long as to how everybody did on their selections. We finally have calculated that data. Tim gave out his abacus. Congrats. We have a tie for first. Congrats to Duncan and Jordan, who went a combined 5-for-6 on their 2-week appearances that they were on. Both had a perfect week. Duncan's was in week 6. Jordan's was in week 10. And then a week that was 2-for-3 after that. Jared comes in third place, 7-for-9 for his appearances, 77%. Tim at 75, 9 for 12. Fronik only on the 1 week, but still a pretty good showing. He was 2 for 3. Luke comes, or Andrew comes in 2 for 3 as well. The 1 week he was on during the regular season, we didn't count for postseason. Fronik and Andrew both 2 for 3. Luke comes in 5 for 9, had a 1 for 3 week in week 5, 55%. Brandan, 3 for 6, that's easy math for me, 50%. Pip, you were also 50%. You were actually 4 for 6 on the week that you hosted, but you had an 0 for 3 the first week that you were on, so that didn't help. Mike comes in at second to last with his 4 out of 9. And Scott, last place in the league for fantasy, last place for picks. He goes 2 for 9 on the season. I came in 50 for 78, so 64%, which this was actually gambling, would have been a really good year for me. I had one perfect week and 2 weeks where I went 5 for 6. So congrats, Duncan and Jordan, on your near-perfect outings predicting matchups on the pod this year.
Yeah, congrats to those guys. And Rick, you did a pretty good job. I would say getting 50 games right in fantasy, when you consider that a lot of this is luck and anything can happen each week, getting 50 out of 76 or whatever it was is a pretty good mark to set.
Yeah, I got two correct week 1 and week 7, and I ended the year with four consecutive 4 for 6 weeks.
Hey, you're batting 666, so, you know, that's a good average if you're in the MLB.
I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm a Tweetball Hall of Famer.
That's for sure.
So let's get to our awards. Like I said, we have 13 of them. Thank you to everybody for voting as well. Our first award of the night, Fantasy Player of the Year. Philip, you have the nominees.
Yes, I do, Rick. For Fantasy Player of the Year, the nominees were Christian McCaffrey, Todd Gurley, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Saquon Barkley. And the winner of Fantasy Player of the Year goes to Todd Gurley of the LA Rams.
Todd Gurley was the number one fantasy running back, averaged 21.4 a game, 342 points, the highest scoring non-quarterback, back-to-back number one fantasy running back, the clear and obvious choice to be taken number one overall, number one fantasy, I guess, non-quarterback out there, didn't even play in the championship game. The Toad was phenomenal.
He definitely was, Rick. Like you said, he was the third-ranked fantasy player on the season. Number one running back, he was the most important player in our league, leading Mike's team to the playoffs and to the finals. He had five games of over 30 points all season.
Wow.
Deserving winner if you guys are interested, second place was Christian McCaffrey, and then third place was Patrick Mahomes, the number one fantasy scorer this year. It was a decent margin for Gurley. He received 7 total votes out of the 12 made. So, Todd Gurley, your Fantasy Player of the Year.
Congrats, Todd. Your trophy will be in the mail. Next up, we have our JoJo of the Year.
Yeah, our JoJo of the Year goes to, or our nominees were Scott and Duncan, botched waiver trade of Austin Eckler for Salami Watkins, and other. So, with no surprise here, the winner is Scott and Duncan, botched waiver trade of Austin Eckler for Salami Watkins.
The week. Way to go, loser.
So, looking back on this, what a just absolute disaster it was. November 30th, this is 2 days after the trade deadline, Scott and Duncan tried to make a trade involving Austin Eckler and Salami Watkins, and these two seller arses think that the best way to do it is by dropping them at the same time, knowing full well that everybody in the league was going to be paying attention to the waiver wire, and that pretty much everybody else had more money than they did to be able to buy them off the waivers. Truly, truly incompetent stuff, and it's been the most head-scratching moment of the year. The both of you are well-deserving of this award.
Now, the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
Yeah, definitely a deserving winner. The text conversation you posted on Twitter that Duncan sent you was hilarious. Scott, not knowing that Melvin Gordon was injured is just fascinating, I think. It's very on brand for Scott, like Jordan said on the podcast. JoJo of the year is doing or saying something really dumb. I think one person was confused by that in the voting. I probably should have put Plaxico before JoJo because there was one other vote saying something else. But I did get some. I did get four votes for other. One of them was the one that might have been a Plaxico, but then the other ones were very interesting. One said benching Calvin Ridley in the championship after trading Antonio Brown for him, which could be a Plaxico, but it's also just a really dumb move by me. So I can take that. That's fair enough, whoever voted that.
A little bit of both.
It's
a little bit of both, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is. Another one was Fronik's entire season. not trading Le'Veon Bell, trading Rodgers for Clement, generally sucking, etc. Was their what they typed in. So, yeah, that's a good one. And then the last one I received, I'm not sure if this was from Duncan or Scott, but they said, quote, just wanted to say we dodged a bullet with those hurt losers.
Oh, boy. Oh, Scott and Duncan, that is just, I can't even imagine I can't imagine what place I would have to be in to where I think the best thing for me to do right now is to drop one of my players in the hopes that I can add one of the other guy's players while outbidding everybody, and I don't have enough money to do it.
Yeah, just really stupid. It was funny because that was the same day or weekend that Jordan, Scott, and Luke were here in Nashville, and it was the day that Scott and Jordan flew in, and I picked them up in the car. And Jordan didn't know about it yet. and so I was trying to keep it quiet because I wasn't sure, you know, I didn't want to, like, say anything so someone else would pick him up, just in case you guys weren't looking at the waiver wire. But Jordan and Scott were both in the constipation bracket by then. But Jordan's reaction was pretty hilarious. And Scott was like, I don't know what I'm doing, basically. He was trying to defend it, but really couldn't back it up. So it was just hilarious and a deserving winner of JoJo of the Year. There was really nothing that came close to matching that.
I was dying for 2 days when I saw that move go down because I was looking at it and it was like I had the most money out of, like, Mike and I think Jared were just barely ahead of me at the time, and I was dying to talk to somebody about how dumb this move was, and I didn't know how to talk to without bringing it up, without them knowing that they could outbid me for him if they wanted to, and it was just the longest 2 days of my life.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say the same thing. It was tough.
Oh, God. All right. Well, JoJo of the Year and Plaxico of the Year, very similar. Plaxico, a lot more to do with your lineup. So the nominees for Plaxico of the Year.
Our nominees were Pip starting Mike Williams, 1.6 points in the final over Calvin Ridley, who scored 16 points, essentially meaning I lost the final. The next one was Fronik drafting Le'Veon Bell and not trading for James Conner. Scott leaving injured players in his lineup multiple weeks, and Luke picking Brady over Russ or Lamar and losing to Mike in the semifinals. This was a close vote by two votes.
Wow.
The winner of Plaxico of the Year was Scott for leaving injured players in his lineup multiple weeks.
You got Plaxicode.
Oh, boy. It started week two. He left Devonta Freeman on his bench in his starting lineup while he was on the IR. It was announced several days before the game, even, that Devonta Freeman wasn't going to play on Sunday. Scott lost that matchup by 17 points. And if you just do some, you know, very simple roster movement. You end up with John Brown on his bench, scored 17.2, would have been in Scott's starting lineup, assuming Scott would have wanted to start John Brown. I don't know if he would or not, but he could have won a matchup instead of losing. And he also did it for at least the second time in round one of the constipation bracket. He started Greg Olson and Grant Gano, who were both inactive, on his route to stand-up. So good work, Scott, not checking your lineup.
You got Plaxicode.
Scott also did it week three. If you go and look at his lineup week three, his quarterback slot is completely empty. And what's crazy is that Scott won that week.
Oh, I think, was that a Monday night game against, or a Sunday night game or something like that? I think Scott,
yeah.
I think he had the lead and he just didn't want Goff to like lose 20 points or whatever.
The thing about that week was the Monday night game was Tampa Bay Pittsburgh. So he didn't start Goff and left. And had the choice of starting Fitzpatrick as his quarterback, but obviously he had the lead and he had already won, so he didn't start him. And then that was where the whole Scott-Tim rivalry started, because Tim was like, he could have given you, you know, if it comes down to a point tiebreaker, you wouldn't have made the playoff.
Yeah.
Because you might not have started Ryan Fitzpatrick. So,
which actually,
yeah, I mean,
that's a very big deal for standings. Because it came down to points four, and Scott, he was a game ahead, so that wouldn't have really mattered all that much. He just would have been in one higher spot, because he was also the lowest scoring team in the league by about 7 points. So he very easily could have saved himself a little bit of hassle, possibly. There was also the next week in week five, he had 2 zeros in his lineup. Chris Carson got a zero, and the Lions defense got a zero, and he beat Jordan by less than a full point.
Yeah, it's crazy. Scott's year. But yeah, I honestly thought, I think I deserve this one. I voted for myself. So I think what Scott did, he really shot himself in the foot, but I cost myself a championship. So I'm surprised I didn't win. So thank you, whoever voted for Scott, for taking it easy on me.
I think it really, when I voted, it came down that it happened multiple times to Scott. And I, like, what you did was an absolute, like, you know, fuck up. But Mike Williams had been doing a lot better down the stretch than Calvin Ridley had. And there was really no guarantee against Carolina the day he was going to have. So it kind of made sense. Like, it looks really bad in hindsight, but this happened to Scott multiple times, and that's not a good look at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Next up, our best draft of the year. This is going all the way back. Who are the nominees here?
So this was a very close vote. Our nominees for best draft were Luke, Rick, Mike, and Tim. And the winner, by 5-4, was Tim, who won best draft this year.
Yeah, Tim, very strong draft when you look back at it. Obviously, Alvin Kamara, round one, pretty obvious choice the way that he rode him to the playoffs last year. Tyreek Hill fell all the way into round three. TD, Derrick Henry in round four, who ended up late in the year being kind of a savior for him. And then all the way down in round 15, the number one fantasy player this year, Patrick TD Mahomes. That, I think really between like getting Mahomes and Tyreek and Mahomes turning out to what he did, it was really quite the selection.
I agree, and even AJ Green was averaging around 16 to 17 points before he got injured, and he was his second round pick. So Tim, unfortunately, kind of got derailed by injuries near the end of the season, but and Henry, his numbers were very back of the season heavy. But overall, Tim, a very good draft. I would say Luke also had a very good draft. Tim wins the vote, 5-4. Rick, you got 2. Mike, you got 1.
Nice.
Congratulations to Tim on winning best draft.
And of
course, who won best draft after the draft? Was that like Jared and Luke?
Yeah, that would be. I thought you would have that paper and you would know who won that one. Because I forget, there were so many people going around asking so many questions after the draft that I have no idea who actually kept all of that information. I might have it in my apartment with the draft board.
You might, Mike might have it also, since he took the poll question. So, I don't know. Either way, Tim is this year's best draft winner in hindsight at the end of the season.
And with the best comes the worst draft of the year.
Right. Our nominees for worst draft were Andrew, Fronik, Duncan, and Scott. This was a fairly clear winner. The winner of worst draft was Nick Fronik.
Yeah, Fronik had the number 2 pick. He took Le'Veon Bell in the first round. Le'Veon never played. Followed that up with Doug Baldwin in the 3rd round. Doug ended as the number 49 wide receiver. Took Rex Burkhead in the 7th round, the number 79 running back. Donta Foreman in the 10th round. Donta Foreman was inactive until week 16. He was the number 113 running back on the season with only 9.7 points. Really, it was the Le'Veon Bell decision at the top that hurt him, but he didn't do really much else after that to help his team.
No, I mean, the players he drafted were not good. Like you said, Bell, Howard is not second-round value. Baldwin was bad. Tate wasn't that good. Aaron Rodgers, you know, he wasn't as good as his draft position. Jordan Reed was not a great tight end. There were better tight ends taken. Donta Foreman, like you said, Rex Burkhead got injured. Really, for Fronik, the only valuable pick he made was Emmanuel Sanders, who did have a very good season, but then even he got injured near the end. I will say that as bad as draft Fronik had, Andrews wasn't that great either. He took some really bad players. But Fronik wins this vote fairly convincingly over the other competitors here for worst draft.
Yeah, looking at Andrew's draft, early on kind of started pretty okay. Not having Dalvin Cook healthy really hurt him. Keenan Allen had a really solid season. Kenyon Drake eventually paid off but was taken really high. Ingram was fine once he was healthy, but it was just kind of like every third pick was really a dud. Getting Phillip Rivers, I think, saved him a lot. The Chargers' defense was solid. It was just less glaring bad picks for Andrew than Fronik. I really didn't think there was going to be much contest in this.
Yeah, I agree with that. I voted for Fronik.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure I did too. Well, after the players come the moving of players, and that brings us to the best trade of the season.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
That's what I have next in my order. Oh no, you're right. Oh. You're totally right. After the players draft, you end up who had the best and worst picks of the draft. So before even players can be traded, we have to decide which one is better and who had the best pick in the draft.
That is right, Rick. So our best pick
reading
of
is
the
hard.
Draft. Yeah. Wow. This is just too much for you. Almost. It's been a long season. Best pick of the draft, our nominees were Tariq Cohen by Brandon, round 10, pick 112. George Kittle by Luke, round 10, pick 113.
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes, Tim, round 15, pick 175. And James Conner, Pip, round 16, 188. This was by one vote. It was 6-5 and 1 vote. The winner of best pick of the draft goes to Luke for George Kittle, round 10, pick 113.
Yeah, the 49er, Iowa Hawkeye, ended as the number three tight end. He set a tight end receiving record this year, yards-wise, averaged 13.4 a game, had the 210-yard game in week 14, the first round of the playoffs, where Luke had the 216-pointer, had a 30-point week, a couple 20-point weeks. That was, I think, probably some of the best value in the 10th round, with Tariq Cohen being, you know, not that far behind, and he was a pick earlier.
Yeah, there were definitely some good players taken around George Kittle, you know, fantasy viable players. Calvin Ridley was two picks before Kittle. Tariq Cohen, like you said, was the pick before. Andrew Luck was even taken that round. But I think why people voted for George Kittle, and I think the reason why George Kittle won, was that Kittle was the 11th tight end taken in the draft.
Wow.
And he finished third ranked. And we all know that there was a pretty clear top three at tight end this season. It was Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle. And so to get the value that Luke got from a tight end that late in the rounds was huge. And even Luke wasn't that thrilled about it when he first drafted him, even though he was a Hawkeye and a Niner. But it ended up working out for him pretty well, and was a big part of Luke's high-scoring weeks that he had all season.
Yep, absolutely. And after best pick comes worst pick.
Yeah, worst pick of the draft. The nominees were Le'Veon Bell by Fronik, round 1, pick 2. Gronk by Jordan, round 2, pick 22. Doug Baldwin by Fronik, round 3, pick 26. And Jerick McKinnon by Jared, round 2, pick 21. This was a runaway vote with 8 total votes. The winner was Le'Veon Bell by Fronik, the second overall pick of the draft.
I mean, he didn't play. Like, it just, he never,
<Yeah. laughs>
you take a guy that high and he doesn't play, and I honestly can't remember what everybody's mindset was about Bell at the draft. I don't remember there being that much discussion at that time that he wasn't going to play. Like, I figured, okay, like, oh, he's not going to be there for training camp, and he's not going to be there for the preseason, but, you know, he did that last year. It'll work out for him. He just never showed up, and that just makes it an absolutely just god-awful pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think I brought it up maybe a week before the season, like, kind of half-jokingly in the breakout, like, do we even know if Lev Bell is going to report? So I think if it was an injury, you know, if you're Fronik, you take that. You know, if he tears his ACL or something bad, Achilles, you know, a bad injury, you know, it sucks and you're mad about it, but you kind of take it. You know, that just happens in football. But the fact that he just didn't play by his own choice and Fronik spent, you know, the second overall pick, his first round pick, on Le'Veon Bell, and it was a pretty clear top two, I think, that it was either going to be Lev or Gurley, and more than likely Gurley, number one, and then Lev Bell was going to be number two no matter what, and then it kind of got a bit more murky there from thereafter. But yeah, this could not have gone any worse for Fronik, this pick. Just, it was a disaster for him this whole season.
Literally from the start of the year with the draft, it went all downhill from there. Now it is time to talk about some of the best and worst trades of the year. We'll begin with best trade of the year nominees.
Yeah, Rick. Well, that's actually out of my order. I have waiver wire pickup next, but we can go to trade if you want.
Oh, you never sent me the waiver wire pickup of the year winner in our pre-production meeting.
Oh, my mistake.
That would be why that's not there.
Yeah, I will go for waiver wire pickup of the year. I must have skipped over it. The nominees were Tim, Philip Lindsay, $31, Pip, Damian Williams, $33, Fronik, Gus Edwards, $29, Duncan Jamal Williams, $23. The winner, and this was also a runaway, was Tim picking up Philip Lindsay for $31. It got a total of 9 votes. The other vote, nominees got 1 vote each, but Tim, Philip Lindsay, the number one waiver wire pickup of the year, It happened on Wednesday, September 12th. He dropped Cameron Meredith for $31, Philip Lindsay after his 17.2 points per week one. He finished as the number 12 running back on the season, which is an RB1, and so that's very much worth the $31 that he spent. I will say, not to take anything away from Tim, but I completely forgot to put CJ Anderson on here when looking through the transactions. And I don't know if people would have voted for him. I definitely would have, but that was obviously the pickup of the year for Mike. I don't know if he would have won the championship without him. So it depends, you know, if you were to vote for season-long pickup, the importance, or just the championship pickup. But CJ Anderson, I apologize to you and your family. You should have been nominated for waiver wire pickup of the year, but I just completely forgot you.
Yeah, Mike only made 14 transactions on the whole season, which I'm pretty sure would be a league low. But yeah, Philip Lindsay, I think the thing that like Tim got a lot of flack for wasn't so much the money that he spent on Lindsay, but it was that you still really, after week one, you weren't entirely sure that he was going to be the guy. And he had a slow decline, and then really kind of after the bye week, he really took off. He was getting a lot of carries. He was getting a lot of receptions and yards as well, and work at the goal line. And it paired off well with having Royce, who was getting all of the other carries. I think it was week one, week two, you're saying, oh, my God, why would you spend so much money on a guy? Like, you have no idea what's going to happen. Could have just been a fluke. It absolutely paid off for him. He got an RB1. Lindsay was a Pro Bowler. He was one of the biggest reasons why Tim was able to make the playoffs after his team suffered the injuries that they suffered.
Yeah. I think, every season has those one guys or a couple guys week one, those random guys that just go off and they never do it again. But I think what took the risk away from Tim for this pickup and what allowed him to spend so much money was that he had Royce. So even if Philip Lindsay didn't pan out and he lost $31 and would have had $69 remaining, nice, at least he still would have had the other option in Denver. So that risk was taken out of it by him, but it was definitely a great pickup, and Lindsay was one of the main parts of Tim's team this year and why he got to the playoffs.
Absolutely. Now is it time for best trade?
Now, yeah, you are. You must be really excited for this one, Rick.
I've been teasing it.
All right, best trade of the year. Our nominees were Jordan receiving Michael Thomas for Brandon Cooks, Marlon Mack, and Jamal Williams. Rick for receiving James Conner and Antonio Brown for James White, Calvin Ridley, and Brandon Cooks, and myself, Pip, for receiving Cam Newton for Josh Gordon and D.D. Westbrook. The winner of this was in a runaway, 8-2 for the other nominees, goes to Rick. Congratulations, you're winner of Best Trade of the Year. Commiserations to Pip, myself, for being an idiot on being the other end of this best trade of the year. James Conner and Antonio Brown for James White, Calvin Ridley, and Brandon Cooks. Rick, what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm very happy that I was able to win this trade, this award for this trade. It was certainly, especially when I did it on the day where it was announced that Le'Veon Bell was probably going to come back because he wanted to be on the roster so that he could for sure be a free agent. That was the day I decided to take James Conner into my bosom. Conner for my team, 10 total touchdowns, 183 points. Brown, 12 touchdowns, 206 points. And what you got on the other end, 5 touchdowns from Cooks, 137. Ridley only had 2 touchdowns right after he had 6 in 3 weeks, 68.7 points, almost a really nice addition. And James White really sold him at the right time, 1 touchdown and 30 points for your team, although you did end up flipping him for Sticky Diggs, so you didn't get all of the value that White had the rest of the season. I just think this was really one of the acquisitions on my team, pairing Antonio Brown with Julio Jones. It was a great 1-2 combo. I was still able to keep a piece of the Rams offense. I think it was a really good move by me, and I'm glad that a lot of people in the league agreed that this was a really good trade. Thank you.
Yep, congratulations.
After the best trade comes the worst trade of the year.
Yeah, our nominees for worst trade of the year were Pip, James White, Brandon Cooks, Calvin Ridley for James Conner and Antonio Brown. Scott, James White, and Austin Eckler for Stephon Diggs, and Bronick, Corey Clement for Aaron Rodgers. This vote was practically unanimous. It was 11-0 until our final voter voted, which happened to be Fronick, who didn't vote for himself. So this should have been the only 12-0 vote. It was unanimous, but I did know that Fronick was the last person to vote, so I know that he was the one that didn't vote for himself. But the winner of worst trade of the year was Fronick, who traded Corey Clement for some guy named Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, goodness. Brandon added 206 points to his roster with the addition of Aaron Rodgers. 206 points to the quarterback position, where Brandon had Tyrod Taylor starting until then. Clement was on Fronick's roster for 17.6 points of his season and then was dropped less than a full month after the trade. This was one of the worst things that has ever happened in this league. Fronick describing it as just doing it in the car on the way to work, which please don't fantasy and drive. I've talked about this so many times. I've run out of words to describe how horrible of a trade this was. Fronick, you don't deserve an award for this, but your award is in the mail.
Yeah, I mean, even though Rodgers wasn't that spectacular this year compared to previous years, Clement was just so bad, and they really don't compare. He only had more than six carries 2 weeks of this season. Fronick voting or trading with his heart over his head. It really just makes no sense. No running back for the Eagles was worth starting this year, and Fronick traded Corey Clement for Aaron Rodgers. It's just stupid.
Boy, that... It's so bad. We need to move on from it, because I think Fronick's going to come attack me in my sleep if he hears me talk any worse about this trade, because I have severely roasted him the entire year on that ordeal. Next up, we have our Smelly Butt Team of the Week. Well, of the year.
Yeah, our Smelly Butt Team of the Year. Our nominees were everybody that was in the constipation bracket. Jordan, Jared, Duncan, Scott, Fronick, and Andrew. And the winner of Smelly Butt Team of the Season is Scott.
Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt.
Smelly butt.
Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt.
Yuck, that's one smelly butt. Your team sucks.
Scott was the lowest scoring team to end the season for four straight weeks. It was weeks 10 through 14. He was also the lowest scoring team of the year. He ended with a 77, 89, 62, 71, and 62 again. Was the lowest scoring team in the regular season by 7 points, cementing his JoJo of the Year award by starting inactive players multiple times, including in the constipation bracket itself. I really would have thought that Fronick, with all of the he was on worst draft, worst pick, worst trade, really thought this kind of would end up being Fronick, but instead it is the stinkiest team in the league.
Yeah, Scott, as bad as Fronick was, he did manage to kind of salvage something by the end. And at least Fronick consistently put up a bit more points than Scott in the second half of the season. But yeah, Scott, 5 smelly butts in a row, week 10 through round 1, 6 overall. If you go back and look through his weeks, he had players score 0 10 times throughout the season. He also had 2 players score negative points from non-defenses, which were Jared Goff and Mason Crosby. A pretty awful season. Scott, just a lot of highs and a lot of lows. One interesting thing I noticed when putting the mashup together, we started out calling it smelly poop instead of smelly butt.
Smelly poop, smelly poop, smelly poop. Smelly, smelly, smelly poop. Smelly, 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 smelly poop, smelly poop, smelly poop. Smelly poop. Smelly poop. S-M-E-L-L-Y-P-O-O-P. Smelly poop.
Smelly butt just sounds better at this point.
It really does, yeah.
But yeah, Scott, deserving winner.
Goodness, man, I didn't know that he had multiple negatives from non-defenses. That's very impressive. Congratulations, Scott. Your butt is in the mail. Next up, best podcast guest from the season.
Yeah, this is a big honor to all of us who were on the podcast this season, which was everybody. Rick, unfortunately, you are not able to win this award, although I'm sure you would come close to getting a couple votes. But anyway,
I was a guest once.
Our best podcast guest, obviously you know all the nominees. It's everybody except for Rick. And the winner of best podcast guest with a total of 4 votes
is everyone.
Is Jordan.
Yeah, this is always really the hardest award for me to vote on and for me to choose. I really do love talking to you guys every week. I know everyone's busy with like their actual jobs and doing real things, and I don't know how everyone can take like an hour out of their week. And in Jordan's case, he takes about 5 hours every time he's on the pod to bullshit with me. I don't know how Jordan working at a bank is actually as creative as he is. If it's a rolling thing where he's just constantly writing stuff down, or if it's just off the top of his head, which either one really wouldn't surprise me. But in my book, for the 2nd straight year, everyone wins podcast guest of the year. I love you all, and I'm so glad that you're able to come onto the pod and just have fun with me for an hour, hour and a half a week.
Well, that's very kind of you, Rick. We all love coming on, too. But for me, no surprise here that Jordan wins. He always brings a lot to the table, whether it be useful or a load of crap. But it's entertaining. And Jordan, I think, is a deserving winner because he started the commercial trend to the pod, which was short-lived, but it was a great addition. So I think Jordan was a very good podcast guest and a deserving winner.
Everyone's a winner in my book. Next podcast award, best podcast moment of the year.
Yeah, this is always a fun one to see who created the best content of the pod. This obviously last year the winner was Scott's robot voice near the end, and Scott's robot voice calling out new rival Tim was a nominee this year, along with Scott's Hurricane Mike weather report, Tim's long conspiracy theory about how the world is against him and has been his whole life. When President Bill Clinton came on and gave his endorsement for DFI, and also the introduction of the Smelly Butt Team of the Week. But this year, the winner of the podcast moment of the year goes to President
Bill Clinton and his DSI commercial.
This is really such an honor. I mean, Mr. President Clinton, you are a president. Just being it, knowing that you're a fan of the podcast, you're a fan of, you know, DFI, just like all of us, is just incredible. Like, you're not even a member of the league, and yet you're contributing to our very long-lived and well-done live ad reads in the podcast, providing fun facts about our favorite player, Julio Jones. It was quite an honor and a treat to work with President Clinton this year. Here's to hoping I don't blow this one and that we'll be able to enjoy Bill Clinton's sacks next year.
Well, I'm sure we will. And I believe we have a statement from Bill Clinton.
My fellow fantasizers, thank you for awarding me with the People's Sexiest Man Alive Award. It means so much to me to get your support. I am blown. I am blown away by your love. If you think DFI is good, check out D.B. Stewart's new extended play record, Hurt Like Me. It's the one of two things to cure my anxiety. This one's for you, Monica. Thank you. Wow, what a great statement from Bill there. It was an honor to have him on the pod again.
Thank you so much, President Clinton. Really is an honor. Please let us know anytime you want to come on. You're more than welcome to hit us up on Twitter at SemiProductsPod. I know you already follow us on there, so thank you. Thank you so much for that, sir.
I think he's gone, Rick.
Oh.
he's probably busy.
Yeah. He's, you know, former president. Next up, GM of the Year, our final award to hand out for the 2018 season.
Yeah, it's our most prestigious award, Rick. The one where everybody votes on who they think was the best GM and who did the best job building their team throughout the season, making it as strong as possible. It's a big honor to win GM of the Year. And this year, our nominees were all the players in the winner's bracket, which were Mike, Luke, Pip, Rick, Brandon, and Tim. And the winner of GM of the Year goes to Rick.
Wow. Really?
Rick. Yes, Rick. You won with four votes as our GM of the Year. And my first question is, why do you think you won this award instead of me?
Wow. I wish I had a speech prepared. This is this is a real shock, to be honest. I didn't expect to win this. I don't think anyone throughout the year really talked about my team in a way that made me think that I was, you know, really respected that much. I was never talked about as one of the best or one of the worst. I always thought, right in the middle, I probably aren't, I'm not going to win this. I didn't have a bad draft. It obviously wasn't the best draft. I'm honored I was able to win this. I think I've been underrated by the league, especially when you look at my back-to-back highest-scoring team. I got a bye two straight years, as well as hypothetical back-to-back champion with my third-place finishes. So I'm not sure if this is a legacy award or if, you know, my draft, which I did think went really well, the trades I made, which I won best trade of the year, so that went well, made me GM of the year. It's really, really an honor. I promise you, I really only voted once. I only voted for myself once. And I think the rest of you for voting me GM of the year. Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations, Rick. You obviously put together a very good team. Like you said, your draft was good and your trades were good. You weren't that strong on the waiver wire, but two-thirds of how to build your team, you nailed. So GM of the Year, congratulations.
Yeah, I don't think I had to go to the waivers all that much because I thought I had drafted well enough and the trades I had made had kind of filled up the holes that I needed to make. So I think I added a defense every now and then, a couple players here and there. I didn't think I had to use the waivers all that much this year.
No, I agree. I mean, you had a pretty easy set and forget lineup for the most part. So, yeah, congratulations.
What case would you have made for yourself as GM of the year?
I would have said that if you look at my team from the start, the team that I drafted, I drafted Christian McCaffrey, which nobody was really high on. I drafted Travis Kelce, who was the top tight end by the end of the season, out of a very shallow shallow amount of good tight ends this season. I drafted James Conner late. I drafted Antonio Brown late. And I held on to Nick Chubb all season until he started to get good. I made some big waiver wire pickups with Damian Williams to get me through the semis into the finals. I think that I did go wrong with the trade that I did with you, but I also made up for that with my trade to Jared for Cam Newton, and then also with my trade to Scott for Stephon Diggs for the most part. So yeah, I mean, I was just very active this year, and you know, when you're active, some moves pay off and some moves don't. I think that the moves that I made, though, more of them paid off than they didn't, and ultimately, the moves that I made each week made me better and got me to win that week, especially the Damian Williams pickup. I thought that was massive to be able to hold on to my waiver money and use it smartly to where I could spend on a guy like that at the end of the year and have him take me to the finals.
Yeah, I regretted about a week after I picked up Austin Eckler the Kareem Hunt thing happened and Damian Williams was out there. I really regretted not picking him up earlier and spending all of my money on Eckler. Cause that was a huge ad that, I mean, nearly won you the title.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, Josh Allen was pretty good except for the 1 week that, was in the final. I mean, he scored like 40 fantasy points the week after, so just kind of unfortunate there. But you know what? You're a deserving winner. You got 4 votes. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thanks to all of you for being a part of the pod this year. Coming up in 2019, we have the Nature League. Our team thing is going to be any team name thing theme. Is going to be anything nature-related, outdoor, land, so whatever. Get ahead of the game. Start writing down your team names so that you, too, can aggravate me by changing your name week after week. Worked out for Mike, and you might as well try it next year. We're still on Twitter, at SemiProductsPod. We'll be on there anytime. You miss the pod, you have questions for us about anything, really, you can send us a tweet. Don't be shy. Also coming in 2019, just around the corner, is draft weekend. So where are we drafting this year? What are the ideas being floated around?
Well, I think the big idea for first of all, just go back to the name theme or the team theme of nature and outdoors. I got 3 team names for you guys to think about: Forrest Buckner, Canal Davis, and Jake Butte. So yeah, we're going AJ Green next year with a nature outdoorsy theme. It could be anything to do with wildlife or places, geographical, anything like that. So it should be a fun theme. As for draft weekend, I think quite a few of us have discussed this. Instead of drafting at the beginning of August, like we have been doing the last 2 or 3 seasons, we're thinking Labor Day weekend in Dallas, Texas, draft weekend an abbreviated Rammering Cup, Scott stand up, and Ducks, Tigers, Oregon, Auburn at Jerry World in Dallas. I think even an opportunity to bring everybody's wives, and for those without wives, Tim, you could bring a blackjack dealer that you meet. Brandon, I'm not sure if you have a wife, but you can bring your skis. And Jordan, you can bring your Tammy. It should be a great weekend in Dallas. I think that's the leading vote getter right now.
That sounds like a hell of a time. I cannot wait for that. Boy, Scott having to do stand up in Texas. Oh God, that's gonna go over well.
Could be a big group for Scott to have to deal with. But if we're down, we can get a place near Dallas and Jerry World where the guys, the girls can get their own place. Luke and Katie's whole family is going to be there. So it could be a big, fun Valley and Guy weekend, a duck weekend in Dallas. Obviously, the unfortunate news that Connor's family will not be holding on to the cabin in Tahoe, so we are forced to think about something different, but it could be good for the league going somewhere else. As great as that cabin was, maybe a breath of fresh air, we can go somewhere else. We can talk about it more, but Dallas, we can go to Colorado, Portland, Seattle, Nashville, San Diego, Cabo, anywhere, but I think a lot of people would be down for the Dallas idea Labor Day weekend. I have segments, Rick, and I have a lot of Jim Rome for you. I'm not sure if you want to just play a Jim Rome after each of them, or if you want to play a Jim Rome, like a couple Jim Romes to start to basically cover them all, but I got a lot of Jim Romes.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Rick, this is number one. Thanks for all the hard work you put into this podcast week in and week out. I know it's not easy to wrangle 11 guys, let alone get them to generate decent content. I truly appreciate your patience, and I am so thankful you were wrong about my team when it really mattered week 16. The pit in my stomach throughout the constipation bracket has finally passed. Here's to not three-peating the toilet bowl. I'd also like to take this time to holler at the thousands of semi-product pod listeners. My debut EP, Save My Soul, is out worldwide across all major platforms. Unlike this podcast, it's only 15 minutes, so you can enjoy it on repeat. In all seriousness, thank you, Rick. The podcast truly gets better week over week, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we do. It'll be a sad day when you're too busy calling NFL games to run the pod.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Commissioner Rick, thank you for the great podcast. The sex was good, too. That's my Rick haiku.
Play hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Rick, I've always enjoyed being on the radio with you at high school games and on the pod. You always put a lot of effort, a lot of work and effort into it, and I hope you know how much I truly appreciate it. You are good at what you do, and I hope we will be back on the radio together someday.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Thank you, Rick, and we really all do appreciate what you do every week. It takes me a lot of prep time to get ready to go on the pod, and I only do half of the matchups three times a year, so I can't imagine how long it takes you. Thanks, Co-Commish Rick, a.k.a. the best pod host in the world.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Roses are red, this pot is bitchin'. Already can't wait for next year's edition. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Thanks, Rick, for giving up a day out of your week for the past couple months to put the pod together. We really appreciate the hard work it takes to put just one together. It's always one of the highlights of my week when it drops. Nothing better than to get to hear from all your best friends at least once a week.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Thanks for all your hard work putting the pod together. I can't imagine that listening to all of our nonsense is that fun, but you've done a great job at it. Being totally honest, you've gotten really good as a host, and it's always the highlight of my week when I get to hop on and bullshit with you. So please don't ever consider getting some different job or something else, because I will literally cry without the pod. Bless him.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Hi, Rick. Hope this message finds you well. On behalf of the listeners of the Semi-Product Fantasy Football Podcast, I would like to thank you for your work to deliver us a Semi-Product Fantasy Football Podcast every Wednesday and sometimes Thursday. I know it gave me a semi every Wednesday and sometimes Thursday. Thank you for hosting a podcast about football, fantasy sports, and your friends, the three things you hate most in this world. I'd be lying if hearing your voice every Wednesday and sometimes Thursday didn't give me a big old chubby. In fact, I've got one right now thinking about how thankful I am for your dedication to your listeners in the league. Yep, I'll be honest, I'm currently aroused as I type this, thinking about all the man hours you put into this thing. All the days you have to spend an extra hour in the booth working when you could be at home with the two things you love most, your Julio Jones fathead and your pantry. When I say I'm aroused, I don't just mean my penis either. My nipples are erect too. So thanks for everything, Rick, from being such a good sport about all the Julio Jones jokes to adding all those hilarious sound bites. You the man. We love you.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
Oh, yeah, Rick. Couple guys weren't able to get their messages in time, but we all really appreciate the work you did this year, and you did a great job as usual, and we're all looking forward to being on next year.
That that didn't go the way I thought it would go, and you said you had a lot of Jim Rohns. I thought this would be all of my cold takes from the year that you were writing down that you didn't tell me to put in the mashup, and you were just going to bring them up all at once. Wow, thank you guys. That was quite a surprise. That also explains why Fronik texted me a memo earlier telling me thank you, saying for the pod tonight, and I hadn't talked to him in a while or even told him that the pod was going to be tonight. Wow. Thank you, all of you, for listening to the Semi-Products podcast for our third season. This pod has really grown so much over the last year. I'm glad you were all here for it, and just really since year one as well, so much has changed. Please don't miss out on whatever we have planned for season four and beyond. I know I want all of you to be here with me for wherever we end up doing and whatever we end up doing. So to end the final pod of the year, first pod of the year, however you want to look at it, we have compiled up some of the best moments of the year. One last time, coming up on the pod is more you.
It's time for the moment you've been waiting for.
Duh.
I don't know if you have anything to do here. I don't want to go on BSing forever. We've got a lot to cover.
This year, we're doing the pod. Now, I know at this point you might be a little skeptical about not being able to see my balls. We've covered that. I'm going to give you a video that will show me taking out my balls so you will see that the draft is not rigged. I'm not rigging my balls around here. B1, Fronik gets the number 2 pick in the draft, leaving our lawyer Mike the number 1 overall pick.
How was your second live draft experience?
It was great. Pretty hungover, so I was exhausted.
I had a lot of issues printing out a cheat sheet. Didn't get to print my stuff out until we were in Southlake, which I paid $22 at the business center of the Harrah's or Harvey's casino that we were staying at.
It mean a lot. It'd be really cool. It's always fun. Bragging rights are awesome. And just proving that I can actually do this instead of it was a fluke 2 years ago.
You had the number 2 overall pick, so you got Le'Veon Bell.
So I actually preferred Bell. I'm always sick of not having a solid / elite running back too, which is really tough to have in fantasy. So
yeah,
Jared drafted really well. Luke drafted really well. You know, I'm obviously going to win the league. Honestly, I think Duncan, after his last place finish, his team is looking pretty strong. I don't like his late round picks too much. Actually, they're fine. And I think that's what the American dream is all about, making it back after, you know, awful heartbreak and going on to do, you know, achieve great things. I'm looking to write my storybook the way it was intended to be written.
I have a clear weakness at tight end.
Breaking news, Luke is against his Greg Kittle pick, who is a Niner and an Iowa Hawkeye. So breaking news, Luke is anti-Iowa Hawkeye now. That's basically
George Kittle on the block. Hawkeye's on the block.
I was way more organized this year. I started my fantasy prep 30 minutes before instead of 15 minutes before.
It would mean a lot to hang up in my apartment and to see that every day for a good year.
What would Bree think of that?
She would not like it. She would have me put it probably in a place where she couldn't see it, but it would be in a place where I would see it. Even if it was in the bathroom and I had to look at it while I was going poo-poo, it would be a poo-poo where I look at that trophy and I think, I earned that. I'd get up and I'd flush and I'd be done.
Your Philly defense, which I was surprised that you started, is going up against a very stout and good Atlanta offense. I think that was kind of an iffy play, to be honest.
Throw the fucking ball to Julio Jones, goddammit.
Yeah, see, I like that.
Hey, this is Jordan here to bring you a quick word from one of our sponsors. The company sent me a copy of this ad read a couple weeks ago. I'm sure I haven't heard from them since, but I'm sure it's still fine. Well, let's just say investment manager Michael Kendricks is like the inside linebacker of the stock market. Begin investing today with Kendricks and Nassim Investments, and you'll be entered to win a free trip and tickets to watch Michael and Carl play for the Browns this year. Kendricks and Nassim Investment Group LLC assumes no responsibility for the outcome of any outstanding SEC investigations against either of the partners. Not that there is an investigation. We're saying that just in case. Michael Kendricks is just super smart, that's all. Also, do people really think the Browns would be good this year? I mean, it's the Browns. Come on.
Pep will probably trade away Antonio Brown and probably Russell Wilson and pretty much trade all his good players like he did last year. I first think it was a dumb move on Jordan's part drafting JHI.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
So there you go. Anytime you want to call me out on my bullshit, just let me know and we'll pull out Jim Rome.
If Devontae Freeman runs into Luke Kuechly, who gets a concussion?
Yes.
We do. We as fans get concussions.
Yeah, they both fall over and then they're in like the fencing response position, like on the ground with their arms up, like I won, but no, I didn't.
Oh man, that's dark.
The Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award.
Get out of here, you snake.
This award will go to a team that comes from behind to snake away a win. Our first winner of the Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award goes to Scott. 67 of his 119 points came away with the win by just more than 2. Well-deserved earning of the first ever Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award. Scott, your trophy is in the mail.
Congrats on winning the Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award. Now go slither away.
We have to be like the biggest spike in his like listenership in eons, right?
Yes, there are over 1,500 videos on YouTube in like various playlists, and I went through all of them.
Smelly poop, smelly poop, smelly poop. Smelly poop.
I mean, I feel comfortable playing Godwin. I mean, I think Godwin's going to have a higher target share because DeSean Jackson's not going to be playing. And so I think Godwin, he's got the talent. Some coaches have even argued that he's got more talent than Mike Evans now.
Who the hell is saying that?
I'll email you the link. Okay.
Jeez, that guy is a real Aaron. Pain in my arse.
Is the Le'Veon Bell holdout.
Oh,
he's
really?
He's a real big pain in my arse. He's really pissing me off. Very BH. There is no end in sight. I've been wallowing in my self-pity for the last week. the other day, are you worried yet? And I was like, no, he'll probably show up on Wednesday. And then Wednesday came and went, and he wasn't there.
How long are you willing to wait for him to show up before you would consider trading him?
No. I'd be selling low at this point, right? And it's only 2 weeks of the holdout. Yeah, I'd be willing to wait like the 6 weeks. Now, depends on where my team's at. If I'm like 1-5, I need to be making like moves. I need to be winning. Like, I'd probably be making moves before that. Weeks 6 and 7 are going to be buys hitting me pretty tough. So that's probably the time that I'd be looking at making moves. I don't know. It's just overall a tough situation. It sucks, but I'll tell you what though, when he comes back, I will jizz in my pants.
Ew.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's better than Odell Beckham Jr. He's going to have a better season. Watch. Just watch. Keenan Allen will end the season better than Odell Beckham Jr.
Everyone note that down so we can put it into the end of your montage.
For fantasy implication, Aaron Rodgers is a must start every week when you can be absolutely certain that he didn't eat fava beans before the game.
That's so interesting, because fava beans are super popular. Like, to me, they're a number 5 bean. It's right behind black, refried, pinto, and jelly. Should I stop eating fava beans?
Have you ever injured your knee?
No, because I don't do anything athletic ever.
Keep on eating fava beans. Pythagoras, of the Pythagorean theorem, is thought to have had favism, which makes sense when you think about what the Pythagorean theorem actually means. A fava bean squared plus be careful about eating fava beans squared equals see your red blood cells explode squared. These bean facts have been brought to you by the newly renovated Bean West, featuring a shared kitchen space, 2 ADA compliant sidewalks, and fewer couches. According to UO Student Housing, students will no longer frown when they get assigned bean.
But yeah, you got Plaxico'd very hard.
You got Plaxico'd.
Feels good every time. All right, I do have a public service announcement for a is going on right now that I'm involved with. It's generated off kind of like a big news story. An advocacy group that assesses chemicals in consumer products, the Environmental Working Group, has recently discovered several oat-based breakfast products, including Cheerios, to contain trace amounts of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup. We are the Center for Cheerios Survivors. If you have a loved one who has ingested thousands of metric tons of Cheerios in the past 25 years and has displayed symptoms such as a lick of sleepiness, being constantly late to things, the inability to grow over 5'9", stinky farts, a taste for bland foods, slurring words, general messiness, being constantly sick, forgetting to set their fantasy football lineup before 10 a.m. on Sunday, or general indecisiveness, don't give them a hard time. Chances are they have also ingested thousands of metric tons of Roundup. This has been a message from the Center for Cheerio Survivors in partnership with General Mills and Monsanto.
This year I did want a backup QB because I do believe in backup quarterbacks, Brandon. But I mean, you know, I picked Cousins as my first guy, and you know, I still think Cousins is good. I have a JoJo of the week.
Now, the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
It's Scott. You could have just cost yourself the playoffs, buddy. Just got to set your lineup, dude. I believe even if that at that seventh spot, you can drop down and get that 12th place loser spot. And the difference between
I don't have a lot to say about that move.
I imagine he's probably saying that as he's listening to this right now.
I don't have a lot to say about that move.
Everything I do is normal. And then it just kind of ran with it. Oh, Tim's normal. I'm going to use normal talk to reveal a conspiracy that I have figured out and that I firmly believe is out there. Something that's normal in one society is not necessarily normal in other societies. For instance, we put a lot of ice in our drinks. That's not very normal in other places. Like in Africa, they don't even have drinks, really. They just have to sip from rivers and lakes. So let's bring it into sports. The last time the one-point safety ever did happen was in the Oregon Duck game 2013 against Kansas State in the Fiesta Bowl, which I just happened to be there for. I was wondering, what does this all mean? Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson now believes, and he has recently proposed, that it is very likely that our universe is actually a computer simulation run by some greater, more intelligent life out there somewhere. So I started getting to thinking, maybe I am living in a computer simulation. So where does this tie into me and how things are working in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked, Rick. Back in the day, when I first became a sports fan, the norm was to win every championship. I became a Lakers fan, and they won 2000, 2001, and 2002. But I got greedy, and look what's happened. A referee came clean to make calls in the favor of the Lakers. Thus, I was cursed for the rest of my life with the game that had been rigged, and thus every game that has meant anything to me ever since then has now been rigged. Oregon Ducks Championship 2010, Cam Newton should not have been playing. 2011, undefeated going into his Stanford game. Maldonado, he was in on the computer simulation. He was just a pawn in your guys' piece. Zach Ertz in 2012. 2014, Ducks go to the championship. The game was rigged. I believe CJ Verdell was in on it. You go back to the Dodgers. Yu Darvish. I mean, come on. It was rigged. And finally, I come to the last two Ramrin Cups in which Luke decided to knock me out of wins that I should have had both years. Where does this leave us? I actually beat Luke in week one. And Rick knew it the entire time. You see, last year, I beat every single team at least one time, whether it be the regular whether it be the regular season or the playoffs.
It's a glitch.
It's a glitch in the system, and I figured it out. I kid you not. Thus, it is not normal for me to beat Luke at really anything, apparently. This simulation that I'm living in right now has to remain normal, and every once in a while, things have to be rigged in order to keep the norms. Rick had a slip-up. He forgot that he rigged the score, thus telling everyone that I was undefeated, which, in fact, I am.
Football season is back, and you know what that means. The weather is cooling down. The leaves are turning red. Love is in the air. Hi, this is Colin Kaepernick with a very special offer. Now, through the end of December, when you purchase one of Bridgeport Family Jewelers' stunningly handcrafted diamond engagement rings, you'll receive a second ring for only $500. That's right, a second engagement ring for only $500. At Bridgeport Family Jewelers, we know things can happen, which is why we're giving you options. You know, just in case. We'll make sure that you have the perfect ring every time you're ready to take a knee.
Have you heard of the new hit segment, Trade Police?
Let's make this quick so I can get back onto the streets and shut down the Archer family heroin dealing business. I continue to be harassed by another member of the league with aggressive overvaluing of an injured player. Sounds like a case where this other league member is trying to steal your best player away from you for nothing of value. A clear illegal act. Time to grow up, folks. I've had more engagements than I've had Coors Lights in my life. Dear Train Officer Pilcher, I am a longtime listener and fan of your work. Congrats again to you and your newest fiancé. Yeah, I might try and keep this one longer than Rick's stupid beer pong table. A verbal agreement for a trade between myself and Duncan Parmesan was reached at 9:57 Mountain Time. The perpetrator was feeling sleepy after a wild and crazy weekend. I don't like this guy already. This is when our resident homosexual... And now League Snake slithered into the middle of the night and accepted a trade offer for him. It's an egregious crime. It was not a trade that was supposed to be deleted. Therefore, the actual crime of being a snake falls directly on Jarvis Dirty Laundry and arrest. I gotta go back to the dangerous, deadly streets of white suburban Portland, Oregon.
Glad Officer Pilcher got on the case, because it was even worse than I could have ever imagined. I genuinely thought that Duncan just had that trade sitting out and forgot to cancel it, which, I mean, sucks for me, obviously, but it happened. If he actually did say that we have a deal and send that after, that's just, I mean, doesn't make any sense. I mean, he didn't text me like, oh, I'd prefer Yeldon or anything, so I had no idea he was really offering it to anyone else.
I feel like Michael Jordan coming back out of retirement. Unfortunately, I feel like the Michael Jordan coming back to play for the Wizards. Have you heard the whole Kiki conspiracy with Kanye West?
Yeah, Drake had sex with Kim Kardashian, right? While she was married to
right.
Kanye?
I'm so surprised you knew that. I'm proud of you, Rick. Some of these people's names are players who have scored an NFL touchdown more recently than Julio Jones. And some of these people's names are the real names of rappers. Jordan Leggett.
I'm going to say rapper.
Nope, Jordan Leggett actually is a tight end for the New York Jets who scored a touchdown in week 4 of 2018. Last week. Robert Hall.
Rapper.
That is a rapper. That is the rapper Logic.
Oh, the Microsoft guy.
Tahid Epps.
Football player.
No, that is the real name of rapper 2 Chainz, Patrick Ricard.
Football player.
Yes, he is a defensive end for the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, no.
Who scored a receiving touchdown. By the way, these are all players who scored receiving touchdowns more recently than Julio Jones. A defensive end for Baltimore who scored a receiving touchdown in week 13 of 2017.
I'm Bill Clinton. You may know me as the 42nd President of the United States, but I'm more than that. I'm a history buff. Nothing makes good old Bill Clinton happier than looking back at the pleasures of the past. Today, I got a good lesson to tell y'all. And a bunch of fun facts. It's about Foley, Alabama's finest resident. And I know what you're thinking. What does Bill Clinton know about Fannie Flagg, actress, comedian, and author of Fried Green Tomatoes and other novels? Well, nothing.
It's cock. Google search cock. The oldest cock is considered of fibrous materials driven into wedge-shaped seams between boards. You can get Gorilla Cock for $8.99. Duncan, you and Deshaun Watson, as we mentioned earlier, win the Willie Taggart Memorial Snake of the Week Award for the second week running as a 49-yard Deshaun Watson pass got you just enough points to win by 0.3 over Luke.
Oh, my God. I was so unbelievably stressed all day. I was a terrible neighbor. I was screaming at basically everything. DeAndre was, you know, putting on the spin cycle. Every spin, I screamed louder.
This is a very real thing. If you take one thing away from this podcast, please let it be this. Tim thinks that since he's been cursed and that any team he cares about is doomed to choke. But what actually happened is that the trauma from learning one of his teams cheated awoke Tim's latent power to absorb and exude luck. Tim may not know how to control this power, and so it just happens randomly, but the people closest to Tim are the most strongly affected. Who are the people in the league most geographically close to Tim? Fronick, Rick, and Jordan. Who had the highest scoring offenses in the league last year? Fronick, Rick, and Jordan. This year, the league is only 4 weeks in, but Rick, Jordan, and Mike are climbing their way up the standings. After a guy wins the league, something changes in Tim, and he begins to absorb luck from them instead of giving it to them. What are the chances that this theory is true? Signing off, 420 Degrees of Perspective. For more mind-blowing ideas from this offer, head to 420degrees.com and view his latest work. Think inside the box. How the Hollow Earth Theory and Flat Earth Theory could both be true.
Holy shit. I don't see how it could ever be wrong.
That's what I'm saying. That was science as far as I'm concerned.
Butterflies sometimes drink the tears of reptiles to get much-needed sodium that they require to survive. Like butterflies, I drink the tears of league members that I beat. Butterflies also eat poop, but I at least know whose tears I drink. But I don't know whose poop I'd eat. Whose poop would be least bad to eat?
I guess your poop. If your diet consists of only tears, then your poop is also only tears. So I would eat your poop. You have been... Jesus Lord. I just had the shit shocked out of me out of my headphones. That was... Oh, man, that was really uncomfortable and something I didn't expect. Holy hell, how did that happen? This one goes out to Brock Osweiler, the Brocket Man, the Brocket Chip, Brocktober, rocking it at Hard Brock Stadium.
So, as the former, as a recovering Brockaholic, I have a lot to say about this.
I gotta say that you guys sound very similar over the phone. I didn't know who that was that said hi first.
That was Tim who said hi first. This is Rick.
Can you guys, talk in an accent or something so I can differentiate who's who?
I'll do my Jerry Seinfeld, so I'll start everything with, "What's the deal?" And then you'll know that's me.
Real quick, I will say I did some calculations. I brought my abacus, which those of you that, there's probably none of you, who listen to us on the radio every Friday, we have... Rick almost spit his drink out just now.
I don't think we're talking enough about, or we haven't talked enough about how Tim has given up on a duck in Royce Freeman and he's moved him to his bench. I think this is a game-breaking story.
That should be grounds for expulsion from the league, I think.
Goodness.
Well, I believe that Jordan dropped Marcus last week. So
oh, God, Jordan!
So at least I didn't drop him. I think Mike is huge.
It's a brand new segment with a brand new drop. It is the anxiety segment.
My anxiety.
It's about some guys or guys that I'm playing against or certain players or teams.
And I don't think their teams are that bad. Once you're in that consolation bracket, really anything can happen. Record-wise, this is the Scott's Ultra Soft Toilet Paper Poopy Butthole Game of the Week, sponsored by Scott's Toilet Paper and me.
Basically, if the United States adopted a universal system where everybody had a bidet in their toilet, it would save an average of 11.14 gallons of water per day. Bidets, in theory, pretty green. And Tim, on the other hand, you know, his team is referencing leaving a stove on, which is obviously not very green and eco-friendly. You'd be spending roughly an extra $3 in your electricity bill. This podcast really stands up for Earth and is anti-global warming.
And if you save that $3 a month you would saving by turning your stove off, after 23 months, you would be able to buy a Tushy Classic bidet for $69.
What if I told you that a kid from Foley, Alabama could make it with the big boys? That an underdog could be a dirty bird?
Third down and two. They'll fake the run. They'll get it to Jones. Looking to set up a block.
If I told you, there's a first for everything. In the words of J. Cole, I ain't never did this before, no. I ain't never did this before, no. There ain't nothing like that the first time. Sometimes the greatest victory is a moral victory. ESPN 30 for 30 presents Zero to Hero, the Julio Jones story.
Who's your Warren Moon sleeper of the week?
Alex Erickson.
How did he do?
No receptions for no yards.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
He could not have been more asleep. Probably in a coma.
My number one would be Scott. I think he would be... I think he'd be incredibly nervous when he was going up against Duncan last year. He was quite nervous about losing. So I think he would lose him seriously if he had to do it. But I think it'd be so funny.
Keep nuts away from me.
You're not a big nut guy.
No, can't nut. Can't do it.
To be in such an amazing league that's run by two amazing, or at least one good commissioner. The league has such an amazing podcast is what I'm thankful for.
In about 4 weeks, I am moving to Reno, Nevada.
Wow.
Hawaiian Time, which I've been working for over 3 years now, is opening a store there, and I get to be the GM, so I'm really, really excited. I'm excited about it, and it's going to be crazy. I've never, ever not lived in Oregon my entire life. Luke is, he's the card counter in the casino. He rigs the bets in the system into his favor, which is why he always wins. But like all card counters and cheaters, he will eventually be caught.
Hey, Tim, I have got something for you, Tim. You know what that is, Tim? You are a hater, and I have had it long enough. Your team is full of baby back bitches. I have officially renounced Mike as my rival and have now accepted you as my rival. Tim, I look forward to many pod appearances which will involve the talking of trash and of potential wrestling. I realized that you will never be able to match Mike's girth and greasy elusiveness in the wrestling ring. Consider the gauntlet thrown, my good sir. This message was paid for and endorsed by the No Unnormal Group and the group formerly known as the Mike Schmidt Sucks Association. Also by the Teachers Union of California.
Game on, Scott.
I don't really know if I'm in the market for a new rivalry. I'm just going to enjoy the friendship. I don't think I want to get into a new rivalry. I think if I got into a new rivalry this season, that would just be the off-brand. This Aaron Payne in my arse goes out to all the haters and losers who think I'm going to lose my bye. Not going to happen. Fake news by the snowflakes in the league that are colluding against me. They just can't bear the fact that I've done more in this one season than any fantasy player has done in the history of fantasy football.
Hi, I'm Bill Clinton. You may know me as the 42nd President of the United States of America, but I'm more than that. I'm a football fan. But I'm not here to talk football. I'm here to talk music and a very special offer. For the first time ever, the Clinton Foundation Music and Arts Department has come out with a compilation CD for only $19.99 plus shipping and handling. You will receive the greatest hits of Bill Clinton's favorite current band, DFI. This album consists of 10 tracks and one song, Moonlight Swing. Go to the Clinton Foundation website right now to order. Plus, an extra bonus single, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Let's take a listen.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Wow. You really can't miss this special offer. One last time. For only $19.99, you will receive this future collector's item. Must be over 18 and female to call. I'm Bill Clinton, and I approve this message.
Yeah, I'm a football guy, so I just want to talk football. Psych! I got a thing. For the listeners at home, that was called the reverse jinx. I'm trying to trick Rick into thinking that I do not want to be on the intro when I actually do. So by me telling him not to include
Jordan!
Things, I do actually.
Jordan, when do I know to put my headphones back on?
All right, Rick.
Jordan!
Can
you speak?
You can open your ears.
I can't hear you! Scott, for the fourth week in a row, is our Smelly Butt Team of the Week.
Smelly butt, smelly butt. Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt.
Yuck, that's one smelly butt. Your team sucks.
I wish I could make the noise with my mouth like... You know what I'm talking about? Alexa, search marimba. Nope, marimba is a keyboard that you play standing up.
Dude, people just live in Cleveland. Look at that weather. That is so gross. To you.
Get out of here, you snake.
This goes to the devil himself, James Devlin. This motherfucker sucks.
Because Mike's team isn't that good outside of the Toad. He doesn't really have like a multiple players that you're really scared of. So I've got him as anaphylaxis. Really not that deadly unless you are really, really dumb.
Any Rob Baronis jerseys?
They did play a Rod Baronis clip on the scoreboard, and Jordan wanted me to say the jingle.
Dun, 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 dun. Rob Baronis, he's in heaven.
In 2015, your team name was 5-5-digit rule, and your team pick of Jason Pierre-Paul with Chubb's hand from Happy Gilmore, the four fingers. You gotta post that to the league Twitter. Because I was dying laughing.
We're Robert and Castino. Three players from each team.
Andrew Luck, I think he's got to be the face of this operation. Handsome Michael Thomas Squidward. He's the guy who's going to be able to grab the most money. I think you go AP. I think he's your getaway guy.
I also had Andrew Luck in my heist. I also had AP.
Oh, boy.
I had AP going in stealing money. I have Gronk as the big, dumb, ape monkey idiot of the heist who's tying the security guard to the chair and just like putting a bag over his head.
John Connor, dealing with an ankle sprain that knocked him out.
Now, it really sounds like, the more I read, that it's just ankle pain secondary to swelling, likely a contusion or an ankle sprain.
Sure.
But I did some more research on this. I think the swelling is actually related to bloating. I was doing some research, and according to his teammates, he was seen before the game just absolutely guzzling Cherry Coke and eating Snicker bars. With all of that unusual increase in high fructose corn syrup, I think the swelling is bloating caused by something called a dietary fructose intolerant, or a DFI.
I'm reporting from the bottom jet bridge, B17 here in Sacramento. My fantasy hopes, my disappointments and my future life goals here. Bottom of B17. Once again, it's another dark winter. Looks like I might be. I just hope that everyone is rooting for us to send Duncan across country, because I really don't want to have to do stand-up in front of you guys or in front of anyone. I'd also like to take this time to renounce my rivalry with Tim. Just not into it anymore, Tim. I'm sorry. Duncan and I seem to be rivals when it comes down to who is the worst fantasy player in our league. Well, thanks for listening. This was Scott from the bottom of JetBridge 17 here in the Sacramento International Airport. Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
As far as the toilet bowl is concerned, I'm going to go with myself. I'm going to pray that Scott makes some poor lineup choices. Also, I'd really like to stop getting harassed by my mother. I told her about some of the punishments, and I just never hear the end of it about how insane it is and how could I put myself in this situation and health risks with flying to and from Miami in a day, all that good stuff. And I don't want to do that. As matchups are going along, I'm going to just try and put some positive energy out there and hope I get some good juju back.
But I do have some alternate stand-up punishments. Purchase Seattle Mariners season tickets.
Having to get your legs waxed.
Oh, what about a full body wax?
Oh, my Lord.
D.B. Stewart Stevie Wonder tribute concert, where he not only plays his best hits, but also has to act blind the whole time.
That he has to attend and passionately participate in a local LARPing event.
Walk onto a local Indian reservation wearing Washington attire.
Run a 5K in a rented mascot costume. Take raw eggs, horseradish, and barbecue sauce and mix it in a glass, and the guy has to drink that. Which I think would actually be a worse punishment for Scott, because it would be such a flavor overload. That...
Rick, I'll do a segment. I got a Jim Rome.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you.
Come on, Rick.
I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there?
I got something for you, Rick.
Answer me.
I got something
for
you.
I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
My Jim Rome is expecting something different to happen in our matchup last week.
Thanks, Philip. Mike, what's your first segment?
Oh, I also have a Jim Rome, Rick.
Hey, Rick, I got something for you. I got something for you, Rick. Hey, Rick, are you still there? Rick, answer me. Rick, I've got something for you. You know what that is, Rick?
You picked yourself to win last week, and you didn't. I literally wrote the same thing.
You have been used to losing and watching your Charger Clippers lose, but what would winning the league mean to you as a Sir Esquire Schmidt?
It would probably mean that I won the most games out of anyone. That's what it would mean.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, Rick.
Anyway, I'll stop. It seems like you want to get off the phone now.